ABC Radio Australia.
The gradual switch over a number of years to allow 8 substitutes in a game of rugby union has led to increasing concerns over on-field safety, with tiring starting players often faced with half a team of fresh opponents running at them at full speed late in the match. Former British Lions captain Sam Warburton even went so far as to suggest that if something isn't done soon, a professional player will die during a game in front of TV cameras. That's a really strong statement there. That theme has been picked up by Five Lions legends, who sent an open letter to World Rugby demanding that the substitution rules are scrapped before it's too late. And as Richard Ewart reports, it's a move that former Tonga and Pacific Islands captain Inoke Afeki believes will not only protect players but could actually save the game itself from a slow death at the grassroots.
As the ferocity of the contact in games at all levels continues to intensify, Inoke Afeki is concerned that rugby has created its own version of Jurassic Park.
What happened to the dinosaurs when they got too big and too strong? I think we've gone down that road for a little bit too long, and they've got to realise that it's not sustainable. The chances have always been there for someone dying on the field. It's the sustainability side that's more the question, and the risk of someone dying at a level down or two, at provincial level here in New Zealand or at club level, I would say that the risks have grown there.
Rugby writer for the New Zealand Herald, Gregor Paul, is certainly concerned, and he fears that without change, something bad, something very bad, could happen on the field.
There's no doubt that there's logic to what has been proposed here. We are at the stage now where you can replace more than half of your team, and we do see fresh athletes coming onto the field in the last 20 minutes and hitting hard. And it'd be interesting to find out any statistical support to suggest that HIA incidents are more likely to occur in the back half of a game when there are fresh replacements on the field.
But while much of the discussion around the substitution rules will focus on the elite players, Inoke Afeki is concerned about the impact on schools rugby in New Zealand and around the Pacific.
It's a hard game to play now in schools because logistically it's become a nightmare because schools are performing like many professional teams and they've got squads of 50, and the lesser schools who can't afford it are pulling out of the game. The islands are almost like a smorgasbord. They are shipping out their best players as fast as they arrive. You know, as soon as you see a good player, you're calling up an agent overseas to come and visit and take the kid away. I would say half of the number that are playing competitively in rugby 10, 20 years ago are gone.
And as a result, the former skipper of the Akalitahi says further growth in sevens and touch rugby is inevitable, with fewer players required and a lower level of physical contact.
There's lots of concussion happening, and that's the game that kids in colleges are now dealing with. So how do you take that away? Well, try and go back to a game that was 10, 20 years ago. It was more normal not to use reserves. It was more normal to have athletes that could run all day. It was more normal not to have a squad of 50. So I think that's when rugby was a manageable growing sport, whereas you might see sevens is actually the growing sport now, or touch rugby, because those numbers are manageable and kids aren't injuring themselves as much.
But with so much of the money in rugby being generated by TV contracts, could that revenue be put in jeopardy if the power game is pegged back? Gregor Paul and Inoke Afeki are in agreement that the opposite is more likely to be the case. The former Tongan international believes the outcome of change would be a much more watchable game and disillusioned fans would respond accordingly.
Faster doesn't necessarily mean entertaining. We're part of the entertainment business. We've got to put on one heck of a show. So I think that's what is actually needed by the sponsors. They'll jump in if it has some serious wow and has captured the imagination of the public. If you don't have that spectacle, then very few sponsors will come on board, I would imagine. And New Zealand's had that phenomenon for the last 10 years. Some of the best players do the best rugby on the planet, but no one's watching.
Broadcast contracts are driven by audiences, and audiences are driven by the perceived level of entertainment they derive from watching sport. What we've seen now with 8 guys coming on, 2 things tend to happen. When teams empty their bench out in that middle period of the second half, as they're prone to do, we see some of the flow disappear from the game as too many new players trying to find the pace of the game and trying to find their way into it. So we see the error count go up. And then secondly, the ability for people to find space on the field is closed down because because any gap that does appear, a fresh pair of legs runs in and closes it down. So we just see the game holding its pattern from how it was in minute one to how it is in minute 79. So I think there's a stronger argument to be said that this actually has a strong commercial imperative too, because it will actually potentially give us a more flowing and more entertaining contest by having fatigue and tired athletes in the game.
And the New Zealand Herald rugby writer says taking tactical substitutes out of the game can not only make it safer, but also reduce the financial burden on the Pacific Island teams.
We need to now man squads of 23. So that it actually comes with a greater expense. So it's harder for the islands to pay for and find 23 players. So it actually reduced the commercial cost of running rugby teams, which would be beneficial to the islands. But one of the other issues, I suppose, is the general conditioning and fitness of their players has been questionable in the past for whatever reason. At the moment, we've got big athletes, some of whom I know that they're only being conditioned to play for 45 or 50 minutes because that's all they need to do before their cavalry comes on and replaces them. So I think there'd be a real onus on every team, and particularly the islands, to say, right, well, we need to get fitter. We have to do it now because we don't have a bench that we can bring on and hide guys who are not capable of going for 70 or 80 minutes.
And Anoki Afiaki says numbers are important. With the growth of rugby sevens, he says the player pool for 15s has already been diminished.
If you've got athletes that you want to keep in your pool, it's logical that you want them playing one form of the game that we used to do, and in the middle of summer play sevens, and then we'll use that for fitness to go into 15s. But now they're two different pools. So you're dividing your population of players, and that's going to hurt you. There needs to be a real rethink of the game and its population of people playing it, because it's dying. Even in New Zealand, we have half the teams playing in clubs now because the game doesn't work anymore.
But if the call for the substitution rules to be scrapped is heeded, then Gregor Paul believes it could create new opportunities at the elite level for the Pacific teams, and for Fiji in particular, to shine.
And I'd like to think if we get to that world, the flair and the creativity and the explosive nature of many of the Pacific athletes would actually be given a better platform to be displayed. We saw Fiji come over here and look like a great team when they were able to exploit and find a bit of space. And if we can get a game that makes it easier to do that, some of the ball handling, imagination and creativity of Fiji's unstructured rugby is probably unparalleled.